Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We about to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live games, the conference championships, right through the Final Four and championship game. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how's it go?
What's up, my brother? How are you doing? How's it going today? What's new out there in the sports world? What's going on?
There's not a lot as far as the free agency movement. There's some whispers and stuff we're going to get into in the show today, but nothing much as far as sport news. But I don't know if you remember the infamous Chiefsaholic, the Werewolf Chiefs fan.
Oh yeah, that guy.
The bank robber, the quick change bank robber.
What is he doing, 5 to 10 right now, or what? What's the deal?
I don't know. I think he's in Cabo right now with Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman escaping jail. He bailed in his I think he took off on his bail. He was out on bond on like $1 million, I believe. And now he jumped ship. No one knows where he is. Probably in Mexico right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That Joker, he jumped bail?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So I think I heard a little bit about this. Somebody said that he was able to get off or something, like they let him postpone maybe his date. Is that what it was? Where he could eat? I don't know. I have no idea. But it all of this is crazy to me. So that Joker, he knew exactly. Look, he's been robbing banks. He's been putting money away. And he knew, if I get a chance and opportunity, if they ain't taking me in right now, and they have me come in on my own regard, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Okay? I am gone. So, that's somebody robbing banks, who is being able to get money somewhere, you best believe that Joker is going to be on the first thing smoking.
Oh yeah. So, apparently he cut his ankle bracelet too. They had like a tracking thing on him. He cut that and then dipped out.
Oh yeah. Well, he's got money to do a little bit of everything right now. So, I mean, he was doing giveaways and all that, huh? So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And speaking of giveaways, we still have our giveaway from our guy, Jordan Spector, our Showtime Mahomes poster, which is amazing. We had quite a few of you guys have retweeted it. Just going to throw this back out there for some of you viewers and listeners who may not know the giveaway. All you have to do is three easy steps. You got to follow. You got to retweet our post on Twitter. It's pinned at the top of our page. Follow Chief Concerns. Follow Spector's art account. That's all in the tweet. You'll see all that stuff. And then lastly, subscribe to our channel where you guys can see the unveiling of the winner on next week's episode. So three easy steps for one beautiful piece of work called Showtime.
It's easy. Come on. Somebody got to do it. Put it in there. Can I do it? Can I put it in? Can I do the same thing?
Of course you can do it, JD. It's a free country.
Right. I want to win some gifts. I want to be able to do it. You know, I thought that was a good thing. Like when I put out for the bourbon, that was a good time, man. A lot of people was able to get something that was really nice. Then we'll start doing a little bit more of this, just getting some really cool prizes and things for our viewers.
Yeah.
But that art piece, man, is beautiful. It's a gorgeous piece. So.
Yeah, and actually with that, Corey, the famous Chiefs artist, actually reached out to us today. He wants to partner with Chief Concerns and do some giveaways on our channel. So we'll have some more giveaways for people as we kind of look forward to the beginning of the season and stuff. So we'll have so many things thrown at you guys. So be on the lookout for that as the next few weeks approach. So lots of stuff to give away, man. I'm excited. I'm gonna give it a mood, JD.
Yeah, hey, that's good. It ain't even Christmas. Shoot.
Exactly.
I'm good with it. I wonder if Kenny can paint these guns. Woo! Can he get these things put up there?
I could definitely talk to some of these artists, man. They can whip up some old JD footage and give us a nice little painting.
Yeah, I might have to give him that old, little sculpture like Arnold, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like the ESPN body issue.
Yeah. Boom, Bill. Yes, sir.
Oh, and for those of you actually, JD, I think you might have seen it on Instagram, but we talked about my flag football league, which started last week. We had our week one of the regular season, and we won 41-6 domination on yes. Sunday.
Cobra Kai, blowing them out, baby! I see you, Mark. Yo, man, I love seeing the video. You know, and the thing is, it's just like y'all just out there doing your thing. Like, man, this is too easy. It's too easy out here. So.
We rolled up in our uniforms because like there's a few teams that have uniforms in that league, but I think these guys were new. We rolled up there. We were watching the first game before us, and these guys we all felt them like staring at us. Yeah. And then like we overheard him go to the ref, and he's like, "Are these guys nice?" And the referee goes, "You about to find out." Yeah, it was.
What was the chant they used to do with the Cobra Kai? Remember in the Karate Kid, Cobra Kai used to run around and
say, Cobra Kai, Cobra Kai, Cobra Kai.
Are y'all doing that? Y'all run past teams doing that too?
No, not really. If I throw like a bomb or a touchdown pass, I'll like when we're like up, I'll like run down and he'll say, "No mercy."
I love it. Yes, sir.
I'm sure people hate our team, but it's all fun.
Sorry, man. True. When you're good, when you're winning, people going to hate you. You're going to have haters, brother. We know that. Chiefs have tons of haters. I had my Kansas City Chiefs hat on today when I was going into, First Watch. It's going in First Watch.
Ooh. First Watch.
Yeah. And I was like, "Hey, man, yeah, you're wearing the Chiefs hat. You can't wear the Chiefs hat." I said, "I can wear a Chiefs hat anywhere, okay? Anywhere. Believe that, buddy. Not to mention also, too, you should be wearing the Chiefs hat right now. Okay. They the greatest team out there, have been the past few years. What are you doing with your life?" You know, so he just kind of looked at me and kind of smiled, So I know his girlfriend was like, "Man, what are you talking about?" All right. Right, can handle. But yeah.
And I'm sure you, I mean, when you were playing, you guys were, you know, pretty much like in the playoffs, like almost every year. You can't say that in the 9-0 year, I'm sure you guys felt a little bit of that, a little bit that hate from all the corners. It wasn't as hot takey back then, like nationally, right. But like, yeah. I'm sure you felt some of that, those bad eyes on you guys.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Dude, I thought about this. I know guys talk about all the time, like if we had played in this era and whatnot, how would you do with the social media? Would anybody be talking to us? I mean, yo, the amount of guys back then that was talking pass-ish, man, I can't even imagine those dudes being on social media, Twitter stuff. They would let everybody have the business. I'm telling you, like, I can't even, when they talked about how things like how Bird used to talk noise, Jordan used to talk noise, you know, it was the basketball players back in the day. Oh, shoot. Come on. They would have easily been at people's necks, easily, you know. And I know dudes I played with, I would have been, you know, now, you know, I'll get at people's necks if I need to, you know, mm-hmm. Like getting out of character. I try to keep it easy. Try to keep it easy, Marcus. You know that. You know me, right? I try to be gracious, you know, but sometimes these things, man, these people get out here with these little takes. Sometimes you got to go like, yo, hey, you know what? You don't keep playing around. So we're gonna have to come at you. So
yeah, that's what we do.
So we do, man.
You mess around, we'll have to set you straight sometimes. Sometimes.
That's right, baby. The Cobra Kyle. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we gotta sweep the leg, JD.
Sweep the leg. That's it. Sure, Mark. Sweep the leg, Jason.
Gotcha. So there's a few things, a few items we're gonna check off on the episode today. One of which, of course, is our weekly DeAndre Hopkins update.
D-Hop is an elite guy.
You and I, we want to go with DeAndre Hopkins right away.
It makes sense to go get D-Hop.
We lost Juju. We lost Harvey. Those are veteran guys.
Yeah.
Bring him in. D-Hop.
D-Hop.
The Kansas City Chiefs are around the clock. They trade their fourth round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. Could you imagine the pandemonium going on in there?
Oh, D-Hop. That's what I would want. Shoot. Why would I'm like, hey, D-Hop. Before you even name anybody else, D-Hop.
So this week, we've heard that the Cardinals are finally allowing DeAndre Hopkins to talk to teams. While the Bills have been a team to watch for DeAndre Hopkins, Bills beat reporter Sal Capeccio, I believe that's how you say his name, said he heard that the Bills feel really good about what they have already added in the wide receiver room. But he also heard at the owners' meetings, this is where it gets interesting, heard at the owners' meetings that the team to watch for the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes is none other than the Kansas City Chiefs, a guy that we've been saying this for weeks, bro. I think about over a month now. But it seems that the only, based on all the reports, the only other team to really watch this whole DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes is New England. So now it's kind of narrowed down. It was like, you know, you had some saying the Bills, some saying the Ravens, obviously Browns, Patriots, Chiefs. But now it just seems like it's a two-horse race at this point. So, JD, what do you make of these new reports now that it is like a two-horse race between the Chiefs and the New England Patriots for DeAndre Hopkins services?
I've seen a video when they were showing, I guess, DeAndre Hopkins and Bill Belichick, you know, just kind of, you know, congratulating each other on each other, just saying like, hey, man, I appreciate what you do and what you bring to the game. But we've been saying this. We've been saying this for the past few weeks. We believe that Kansas City has a shot. And the reality is, man, we don't know how these things can happen. There's a lot of things that's going on behind closed doors that we're just not privy to, right? We don't, it'll change every single day. Hey, what if we do it this way? Hey, what if we do it like this? Hey, what if we, you know, try to sign a guy to a lesser deal or something like that, or just try to defer some of his payments later on in the future. Like, how can we work to get this thing going? And so these things are going on, you know, seriously every single day in negotiating, with the Chiefs and I'm sure Arizona. I know they said the Bills. I didn't really get that one. I didn't quite understand that. They had Diggs, they had Davis. So you're going to get DeAndre Hopkins, you know, is that what's going to, you know, get y'all further? Y'all went and got a defense. Y'all started getting guys and, you know, didn't have quite work out for y'all. So That I could see maybe if Bill does it up there, that might be a shot in the dark because they don't have Jacoby Myers. They need a guy. But to be honest with you, if I was DeAndre Hopkins, I'd be the last. It would be one of the last places I want to go. I'm like, oh man, these guys ain't ready. They're not ready. They're not ready to be a world champion right now. There is a lot of rebuilding that they're doing, trying to put things together, and so they lost some pieces. Obviously, is DeAndre Hopkins going to put him over the hump to get to the Super Bowl? I don't think so. And so I think it's something that they had to explore about that, especially the guy who's older, right? And we got Mac Jones. Mac Jones is not the caliber of Patrick Mahomes. So let's just be realistic about it. So if I was, you know, his agent, I'm like, I don't know, right, with the Cardinals. But it's all about who's going to make the deal. But like I said, to me, the Chiefs seem a better fit, you know, to have a guy like his ability to come out here when in Kansas City, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and the one thing that's really interesting is I know everyone's saying it's the Patriots, and the Patriots they have a lot of money left still to spend, so that's why I think people keep saying their name there. But they're also being thrown around there in the whole Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. They have a lot of money. If they do want to get Lamar Jackson, realistically, that's what they're saying. You know, I think Meek Mill had talked to Robert Kraft about trying to get a Lamar over there. I think Kraft said it's all up to Bill if they want to do that. But if that is realistic, then they need the money for that as far as the guaranteed money, whatever Lamar wants. You're going to have the capital for that to be able to pay him. So like that could kind of throw a little wrench in that whole DeAndre Hopkins thing. But then also, what I wanted to ask you is, so they're allowing him to speak to teams. DeAndre Hopkins can speak, up front with the Chiefs now. What can that do? Because I know the common thing I'm seeing from all these fans who really don't want us to get DeAndre Hopkins, it seems like they're just saying it's kind of far-fetched for us to go get him because we don't have the money for it. Yeah. We have about $5 million. I think I read earlier we have about $5 million to spend. And I think over the next 2 years, he makes about $34 million. So like, how would conversations go as far as player team to kind of make that work? Is that something that, you know, we talk to you, hey, DeAndre, you know, we want you on a team, but how can we really make this work? Is there any way we can kind of like pretty much work out a deal with DeAndre? So when we do make that trade, we can kind of like right away, hey, like restructure the contract and move that money around. Is that something that can be done with the conversation with DeAndre, or does Arizona have to be involved with that aspect?
No, I think it is something that can be done. Obviously, you know, with the Chiefs want to have, you know, Arizona possibly pay for some of this contract, right, that he's going to get paid. So they're like, look, if they could take off some of, you know, maybe some of the pressure from, you know, the money-wise, contract-wise, then that'd be a better deal for the Chiefs. But if DeAndre gets over, and it's like at any time, once you get a guy on your squad, once you sign him, then it's like you could restructure a deal at that point. You know what I'm saying? You could do it pretty much at any time. That you want once you have him. I don't think that you're confined to just that by saying if you get DeAndre Hopkins over here, you got traded for, I don't know, let's say a fifth round pick. Okay. Gets a fifth round pick. That's the compensation. He comes over to the Chiefs. Chiefs pick up the contract. Let's say Arizona's like, okay, y'all picking up his contract. They can make that contract work the way they want it to work. You know, during that time, they can. Now, they can't go in there and try to pay him less. I don't think he's going to do that, right? He's just like, well, shoot, I'm just not going to play. Y'all bought a guy, and I'm not going to play for less money. Unless y'all make it sweet for me, you know, later on down the road, like I said, deferring money or maybe, you know, some type of promises. That's a possibility. And that's something, I guess, you know, with the, you know, obviously his agent and DeAndre talking, the Chiefs talking, how can they, you know, really structure some things out to make something like that happen. So, yeah, that's why I think, to be honest with you, man, when people are saying this, there's so many avenues to make this thing work. It really is, okay? Because there's guys like with $5 million cap, the money's going up every single year, okay? There's guys that can still be traded or something happens during the draft. So, When I see things as far as like contract wise, what I'm seeing in the building and what I'm hearing about, look, there could be some really tough decisions going on in the future or during the draft, man, that people may not like or say, well, why did you do this to get a guy like that here? The question is, here's the real question. DeAndre Hopkins, can he make you, help you win a Super Bowl? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is he worth it? Being at 30, 31 years old, I think so. Absolutely. I think he's still playing at a high level. To me, what a guy can do is still have that ability. And making top of the dollar money and stuff for 2 years, yeah, that could be done. Now, I will say this, okay? We was kind of talking about the up here with Belichick with the Patriots. Bill don't like paying anybody either. Suckers is tight. Okay, we talk about Veach is tight, but them suckers up there in New England, them suckers is frog tight. Butthole booty. I'm sorry. It's all, you know, I don't care. Yeah, but tight, man. They sphinxers are pretty tight on the money. Okay? All right? Been a part of that. I've seen that before. So that's negotiation tactics up there as well. But you know, you're talking about Lamar Jackson getting up there and saying, hey, that's something that I had to see to believe it, put it that way. It could happen. It's a possibility, man. But I want DeAndre Hopkins here. I think we can make it work. I think he's worth it. We're talking about, like I said, legacy. We're talking about going in and putting in and making a dynasty. That's a guy that can definitely do it.
Yeah, I think we're one of the few teams, actually, that you add DeAndre Hopkins to and you automatically become, okay, this team, you'll probably see them in the AFC Championship game. You'll see that, potentially say that about us anyways, but it could almost be like, you know what, he stays healthy. That almost kind of guarantees a lock that the Chiefs will be in the AFC Championship game again, to throw him in the mix with what we already have.
Listen, let me say this, okay, because I think we have these conversations you know, because we talked about this before, and we talked about where, well, look, we like the guys in the room, and we do. We like the guys in the room. We have a talented young group of guys, okay? Obviously, you know, Ross is a guy that we're still waiting to see what we're going to be able to get out of him. We got John Ross, young guy that's got a lot of ability, can do a lot of different things, especially in this offense. But, we had to think about as far as, do we have enough of that veteran presence, you know, to kind of take it over the top? Do we want to continue to do this with the difficulty year in and year out? When we know, we sit there and watch Cincinnati, is keeping Higgins and all those guys. They're going to try to keep all those guys together, okay? Bills are still, you know, going to be the Bills, okay? All right, we don't know where DeMar is going in this whole scheme of things. But we know Jacksonville is another team that's up and coming, right? So there's teams in the AFC that's always year in and year out is going to be in contention. It's going to be one of the top teams in the NFL every single year. Do we want to put ourselves in a position where it's almost like we're stagnant in certain positions? You know, do we want to do that? When we're watching other teams kind of, you know, just making incremental, you know, positive moves in the right directions just to put them over the hump. So I know we won a Super Bowl last year. The year before, it was Cincinnati was in there.
Yeah.
Right? So we could keep using this formula. I think, you know, we was talking, my man, I think Carter Man is on Twitter. I like a lot of his takes, kind of talking a little bit about, you know, sometimes it's Veach MO, you know, not to sign some of the guys that he's you know, he's drafted or dudes that's doing one of your deals. Sometimes you gotta make a different move, right? Just out of the ordinary, where you're not so predictable. Like, look, you know what? This is something that we need. This is something that we need to go ahead and do. And newsflash, here's reality. We don't know how long Andy's gonna be coaching. We don't know.
Good point.
So if Andy's gonna be here another 2 years, I'm thinking it's going to be another 2 years. Why not get him some more toys that he can mess with while he's here, right? For at least the 2 years. So Man, I've been just thinking different things in my head, man. And I think we need to understand, like, look, there's some moves that can be made that I really believe will put Chiefs in a better position, staying on top, but still getting top calendar guys here, right, to go ahead and win a Super Bowl for these next 2 years. So D-Hop does it for us.
Yeah, I also say this, too, just looking at the history of Andy Reid. I mean, look at his Eagles days. I mean, he made the most with guys. You know, and I'm not taking any away from Greg Lewis, Todd Pinkston, Freddie Mitchell, Fred X. Those were guys who they weren't top flight guys in the league. They were solid guys. I think our receiving room is a solid receiving room.
Absolutely.
And what happened with that Eagles team? They went out and got T.O. and they took him to the next level. Right.
Right. Right.
If you look at Andy Reid, I was my brother and I were talking about this. If we got D-Hop, I think D-Hop would be a top five receiver that Andy Reid's ever coached on the team. As far as if you look at his history, that we looked at, it was T.O., yeah, Tyreek Hill, huh. DeSean Jackson would definitely be on that list. I mean, I know people want to say DeSean because people remember, yeah, DeSean Jackson in the last 2 years, but like,
yeah, yeah, at that time, yeah, DeSean Jackson, no doubt about it, yes.
And I think D-Hop would go in that, because I think he'd be before Sammy Watkins. I think he'd be before Jeremy Maclin. But yeah, I think D-Hop would be with top five receiver that Andy Reid's ever had the pleasure of coaching if we were to get him. So like you talk about, you know, legacy, the dynasty aspect. You talk about how many more years does Andy Reid have left. This would help to add to the next 2 years. This definitely gives us a better chance, a fighter's chance to make, yeah, that happen, to win the final 2 years, if this is the last 2 years of Andy Reid's career. I mean, it would definitely help. Without a doubt.
I mean, you got to be able to make that argument, you know, and really think about it, like, okay, because it is, an NFL is a window on certain things that you possibly do. Super Bowl is one of the hardest things to get to, let alone win, right? And so if you have it within your grasp, it was difficult last time. Well, we can do it again while it's difficult. Well, why do that? Let's make it a little bit easier, okay? Let's make it a little – look, Travis is spectacular, okay? We know Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal, all right? The young receiver core are a great group of guys, great receivers. We know this, okay? We got a good running back in the room. Why not go ahead and say, okay, instead of Patrick Mahomes running around, because we still got to figure out the tackle position, okay? We still need one more. How about we just we take a little load off of Patrick, take a little bit of load off of Kelsey. So when we do need him, possibly, okay, in the playoffs, we get a guy like D-Hop here. I even say OBJ, you know, if he stays healthy and all that, right? But we talking D-Hop now. It's D-Hop conversation. We're going to deal with this. I would say D-Hop would be the one that you sit there and say, he can make it a lot easier for everybody on the whole offense. Running back, lineman, quarterback, tight ends, other receivers. I mean, he propels us to a whole different level getting his talent like that here. Bottom line, period. For the life of me, I get that. Look, great group of guys. We know this. But if we sitting over here saying we're going to take and be one of the most productive, one of the best wide receiver groups in the NFL right now, you go get a guy like D-Hop. Go get him, okay? And find a way. If you don't, then fine. We'll go with the guys that we got, okay? We'll keep rolling with them, all right? And we'll just keep handling the business. I'm just saying, shoot, why not handle business a little bit easier? It's not about working harder. It's about working smarter, right? It's the whole thing. Oh, you know, now you don't want to work as hard. Work smarter. Mm. Work smarter.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. I do want to ask you this. So the owners' meetings, that's why there's a million reporters there, because there's so much stuff that goes on there. Yeah. And the fact that that's the word from a Buffalo Bills reporter, that he's saying that's the word out there, is that the DeAndre Hopkins is a team to the Chiefs are a team to watch. DeAndre Hopkins, we heard this weeks ago during the draft. That was the thing that was being talked about. And then you see receivers that are still in the market left and right being snatched. I think Marvin Jones got signed. A few other, you know, solid veteran guys have been signed. Guys who would have been signed under that, you know, that the Veach special, the 1 year, $3 million deal, guys that we would have signed, right? If we were going to fix that receiver position. And I think I read an article the other day, it's clear. I think it was Nate Taylor from The Athletic. He was talking about how, you know, because his whole article was saying that we're probably out of the DeAndre Hopkins thing, which, you know, it's been every report contradicts itself. But yeah. In that, it was like, well, they're still interested in OBJ, but either way, they're content with the receivers they have in the room. Okay. You're content with the receivers you have in the room. You just want a Super Bowl with those guys. But then on top of that, you're also still saying you're interested in OBJ. So obviously there are upgrades that you want to make. And the fact that our name keeps coming up, is there smoke there? I mean, do you think that it's not just that BS is being made up, that we are actually a team that is interested? Because I mean, there's been so many contradicting reports in this whole DeAndre Hopkins thing.
Dude, I think there's still interest. I think there's interest in probably all these guys, right? You start looking at guys that are still out here for agents. So D-Hop, no doubt about it. OBJ. I think somebody brought up, and I thought about this guy too, Jarvis Landry. You know, he's a guy that could come in, catch, you know, a few balls, be like a Juju type of guy, yeah. Right? He, you know, we know he could catch. He could play some ball. So it's not going to be a whole lot of money. It's going to cost you a lot of money, but he's a veteran guy. It's a veteran presence. And I heard he's a tremendous locker room guy. So it's just so many reports out. I think everybody wants to get on this thing, get ahead of it as much as possible. Everybody's just putting these little fillers out. And guess what? They are being tight-lipped. They ain't letting anybody know, right? They're not. And so some of these things that we do here, because I hear a lot, you know, from here and their sources. Only thing that matters is what's going on in that room. That's what's going to boil down to. When it comes to that draft time and seeing how everything is going to work out, it's going to play out, then we'll know. Then we'll know, okay? But the people are waiting on a few moves here and there to make a deal as far as, like, trying to make this thing happen. And they're being tight-lipped about it, right? Everybody going to be tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what's going on. Well, I don't deal with this, right, Robert Kraft? Well, I don't make a decision. Really, Robert? You don't make that decision? You gonna try to tell me you can't make a call, tell Bill Belichick? No, we won't D-Hop here. Okay? As owner, you best have some demands, because if you ain't making a decision about who you get on your squad and your team, shoot, I don't know what to tell you.
The infamous story was that Belichick wanted Jimmy G to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady. Tom Brady went to Kraft, and Kraft was like, nah, Jimmy G's out of here. That was the alleged story that came out of it. So Kraft... Kraft does have is a decision maker in that place. The fact that he was able to ship out Jimmy G because Brady went to him. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Kraft, oh yeah.
So he looking at who are you again? Oh, Tom Brady. Okay, no, listen, no, that's not what we're gonna do. I'm not gonna do that. Okay, so go back to where you came from. Okay, you keep throwing those balls for me. I'm writing these checks. You keep playing. Okay? I'll handle this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I love that you brought up Juju. Juju's an interesting one because let's say, I mean, I'm not taking away from Marvin Jones or any of the guys who've been signed, but like there's more at this point in their careers, marginal difference between Juju and Marvin Jones. They also have different things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Juju would be a great, Jarvis Landry would be a great.
Right.
Would be a great fill-in for the Juju role. And also Jarvis and OBJ, very close friends, played college with each other. Because that could be something too, you know. I don't think Jarvis is going to break the bank. And then you could bring an OBJ, and then you have your receiver room is set at that point, and you wouldn't need to do anything else. So it's going to be interesting. Like you said, we're going to see a lot. We're going to be able to tell a lot over the next few weeks if there's no other movement going on, this whole D-Hop thing. And then you got the draft. And then if we don't really draft a receiver in the first few rounds, then it could be like, okay, maybe we are making a move. We just wanted to wait and see how the draft war fell to us. And
I'm sure. And I guarantee they was out there, man, in the owners meeting today. And all these jokers, the coaches, everybody sitting there talking like, man, what do y'all think about doing? What are y'all looking at? So, yeah, that's everybody knows what's going on out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I can't wait for it. And I know everyone's really keen on the whole youth movement thing, but you know, as we talked about, we have a lot. The youth movement's in the building already. The guys are there. You talk about Justin Ross, and everyone's excited about Justin Ross. Justin Ross is healthy. Justin Ross had been a top 2-round pick last year, top 3-round pick last year.
Yeah.
And we were able to get him as an undrafted guy, you know, and we were able to get Trey Smith, who was also a guy, you know, who we got him late because of the whole injury red flag. And we ended up, you know, that panned out well. So we have a good history, a good track record of getting the guys with the red flags and, you know, with the injury red flag and, you know, being able to do something with them. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. That would be a wonder. That'd be a pleasant surprise. See him come out, man, and just blow it out the water this year. It really would. You know, yeah, I'd love to see that.
And just a great story, too, for him to bounce back from something that what he did bounce back from. So
Yeah.
All right, so JD, you mentioned the owners' meeting. So this week, our guy Patrick Mahomes and Commissioner Roger Goodell kind of clashed over some stuff on a thing they voted on at the owners' meeting, and then Mahomes tweeted about it. So we'll get into that. So at the owners' meeting this week, they voted to now have 2 Thursday night football games. Before, the limit was 1 Thursday night football game, excluding Thanksgiving games. And Patrick Mahomes tweeted the facepalm emoji to this on Twitter, and media asked Roger Goodell about Mahomes's tweet, and this was his response to Mahomes's facepalm emoji to the two games now. Quote, "I don't think we're putting Amazon over our players. The data doesn't show higher injury rate. We recognize shorter weeks. I hear from a lot of players directly who love the 10 days off after the game." NFL owners also reportedly tabled a proposal that would have introduced flex scheduling for the Thursday night games. Previous reports indicated that such a system would allow Sunday afternoon games in weeks 4-17 to shift to Thursdays with 15 days notice. This was tabled, but this will be revisited in May and potentially could pass in May.
Wow.
Yeah. So, JD, what do you think of these changes?
It sounds like owners are doing up to owner stuff. That's what it sounds like. That's the NFL. It's all about making money. That's what it is. Okay? It's a business, and them jokers out there understand how to turn a dollar. Put it that way. And so Patrick is sitting there doing the facepalm emoji because he knows I might have to be one of those teams that are going to put on Thursday night. I know that's what he's thinking. Like, look, if you're talking about maybe, you know, getting some quality, you know, games and, you know, going on, shoot, why not put the Chiefs? Okay? We're the primetime show. Everybody wants to see us. Everybody will tune in for something like that, right? So other than that, I don't see what other benefit it would be to do something like that. It's not at the players' benefit to do it, right? You know, I know you said something about, you know, Goodell was talking about like, oh, well, I never heard players complain about it. And, you know, you get a little time off. Well, I don't know who you're talking about as a player. First off, they didn't like the 17 game, you know, for one. Okay. Now we're talking about, you know, turnaround, short week, having 10 days off. Man, listen, we know what this is. Okay. Rogers said it in a way that made it sound like it was okay. Like, hey, we're not with, we ain't have nothing to do with Amazon. And, you know, we worry about our players. Our players are the most important thing for us. Yeah, as long as they're making money for you, they are the most important thing for you. No doubt about it. So that's what this is. This Thursday night deal is how can we make more money with guys and, you know, having teams play on Thursday night? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, they was talking about maybe on Thursday night they was having a little bit of a drop in viewership. We're talking about Amazon Prime. If, you know, you don't have everybody having Amazon Prime, man, it makes it an issue and a problem. You know, is this something that Amazon Prime is sitting there saying to the owners, like, hey, man, why don't you, we're going to put this and introduce you all. Y'all talk about it. Let's make more money. We've invested this type of money into the NFL, getting these deals, TV deals with us. How about y'all talk about getting some better games on Thursday night so more people get Prime so they get to see it. They want to come, you know, tune in. So we get more people in Kansas City buying Prime and getting things like that. Yo, that's what I can see. That's a business deal, what this is, pure and simple. NFL is a corporation. They're doing corporate things right here, right? And their guy at the forefront of this is Roger Goodell. That's why they re-signed him for another few years, because he does a great job for the NFL, okay? And it is what it is, okay? He's getting paid to do this. He's doing a tremendous job for the owners, okay? The players, you know, through the collective bargaining agreement and whatnot, have to bring this up and say, listen, okay, enough is enough. We want a little bit more control for some of the things that we want to do. You know, and you could say, hey, no studies on saying, does this put guys in harm's way and stuff? Well, how many do you know is playing Thursday night, you know, twice, you know, especially this high level caliber of doing things? I wouldn't say that, you know, you had a really extensive study to make that make the decision, but who, you know.
No sample size.
Yeah. I could be wrong. Everybody's been studying this for years, but I'm just saying, from what I see of doing these things, there could be some physical, you know, situations that's involved with this if it doesn't all work out the right way. Right? So
yeah. Well, I'm just saying, as far as sample size, we've never seen a team play two Thursday night games in a season. Well, outside, unless they have been doing some studies on the Thursday night, the teams who have played a Thursday night game, then played the Thanksgiving games, and that they acted as that as their study. I mean, that could have been something, but
those are very like small sample size. Okay. Yeah. Make a huge decision like this for the entire league to go do it now. Not to mention, you're talking about, oh my gosh, flexing the games? 15 days ahead to let them know? Dude.
You think that's worse, the flexing?
I don't like the flexing. The flexing, I think, is to me, is a little much. Okay? You know, 15 days. I don't think it's something you could implement this policy this year, right? Because they're thinking about doing it this year, correct?
That's what I read online. If it's voted on in May, that's something that would start this year.
Oh man, it's preposterous. Guys just gotta get their heads together, like try to do something like that. But man, the only way we're gonna be able to address this issue is when the collective bargaining agreement comes up. You start talking about these things, about what, you know, players' health, you know, what's the compensation for us? How do we benefit from this? And it's all owner driven. It is. Make decisions about what they want to do. So, you know, the NFL owners make the rules. They do. Players, yeah, they have some say in it. But, you know, things like this actually shows like, okay, wait a minute, hold on. This, for them, is about it's an investment in making money, right? They want to win Super Bowls. They want to make money. That's the reason they own an NFL team, okay? So, we know some rich guys, it was a hobby. You know, so, but yeah, it's the league, man. It's the league. What do you want to do? You know, it's good. They have a great business model. So,
yeah, it's one thing. Like, I know obviously money is the end all be all for these guys, these owners. And just the league in general, and all sporting leagues, really, not just the NFL, but there was things that should have been voted on. I think should have gotten passed at the owners' meeting, but instead we're talking about the Thursday night games. Like, they were talking about. I think they put up the vote for reviewing roughing the passers, because that was such a big deal this year for every team. I think had at least one questionable call they could point to this year that shouldn't have been called roughing the passer, but that got stricken down. But instead, we're going to table the flexing of Thursday night games for May because we want to pass that this year. I mean, what? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Are we being objective with this? You know, and I know because of, you know, I Chris getting caught doing his deal. It. I get it. Why we upset? I do. Right? There was a couple of not just Chris. Who was the other ones?
The Falcons. I forgot who it was. The Falcons guy with Brady.
Yeah. So, why wouldn't you want to do something like that? You know, is that going to cause like a break and a pause in the game that you don't want to do, right? You don't want to stop the whole flow of the game and itself happening because, you know, quarterback might have got laid on a little bit too hard, okay? He might have got his jersey a little bit dirty, okay? You don't want these prima donnas getting upset and fussing, you know? How do you take that away in the call? Hey, settle down, okay? Settle down, right? But yeah, I think that should have been at least something that it was like, okay, that's not such big of a deal, especially if it could be something that could absolutely determine the outcome of a game, right? We've seen that. We've seen drives continue or, you know, something happened, all of a sudden it's touchdown. It was like, okay, well, if they didn't have this call, you know, they would have never been close. They'd been fourth down or something. And so that I think something like that, you should look at it. Why wouldn't you visit that issue? Why wouldn't you, right? But no. Okay, we're going to put this. Appreciate it. Thank you. We're going to have this, and we're going to put it over here in our file. All right. Come to order Thursday night games twice. Everybody.
I'll say aye.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't come here for that. We didn't come here for that. We'll talk about that later, right? Well, yeah, but.
And that's actual gameplay, and that's like product. I mean, people don't want to watch games where there's a BS rough the passer. And I know we were affected by that at some point this year. And I think a lot of teams were affected by the some BS, you know, rough the passer call. We're just kind of glued to it, seeing Jones do it. But yeah. That's actual gameplay. And that's not even like a judgment call. It's not like a pass interference or a holding where like that can be, you can call it, you can't call it. Rough the passer is rough the passer. It's pretty clear what rough the passer is. And this year they introduced the expedited calls this year, so they could do it fast. They could have New York kind of look at it and like, oh, okay, yeah, that, you know, because we saw this year they had the expedited yes. review.
Right, yeah. Ooh, so they struck it down, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
If you could figure out, I mean, what the reason would be for that one, what do you think they would probably point to for that? I didn't see what the reason was. They struck it down. I just saw it was voted against.
The only thing I could see them striking it down is like, well, they was like, well, if we're in a position like that, right, and we get roughing the passer, we don't want that taken away from us if we're in a position to win, right? We don't want to be on the other side of this if it happens to us. So I think it might be possibly one of the things they was looking at. It's like, look, but matter of fact, look, let's just leave it alone. If they make the call, they make the call. They get it right, they get it right. They get it wrong and it's still kind of iffy, so what? So be it. We'll just keep playing. There's going to be several calls like this. It's just me talking like they are. There's going to be several calls in the game that's going to be questionable. They don't get everything right, right? So we just got to go ahead and play, you know, with what they call, the calls they make. So maybe that's the reason. That's the only thing I can think of, you know.
Yeah, and I believe there was another rule that I wanted to ask you about. It was one that we actually talked about. I think they tabled it, but they said it could come up in the future, but I don't think it's come up in May. Yeah. It's a rule that we proposed, was it 2 years ago, that everyone was against? It was the 4th-and-20 rule. Instead of having an onside kick, you can go for 4th-and-20 instead of having to do an onside kick at the end of games. I think XFL has that, where you can try to get a first down on 20 yards.
Yeah.
The Eagles proposed that, and I believe they said it got tabled for a conversation to be had later on for that. So that's interesting that they're thinking about doing that one. But we just want to review roughing the passers. I mean, we don't want to change the game. We just want to review roughing the passers. That's all. But what do you think about that rule?
I mean, I think it's something you could look at. I can't remember 2 years if I was for and against it. And I'm just kind of looking at it now. And I mean, man, I don't even remember how I thought about it then. But thinking about it now, I know XFL does it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I, you know, quite agree with that. Yeah.
Leaving the XFL.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just, yeah. It'd be so different. This, you just don't want to, like, right? See how we're talking about this? Like, instead of bringing a new rule, just leave it. Just leave it alone. Don't deal with anything. Just leave it like it is. So,
yeah.
But point of order, talk about 2 Thursday night games. All in favor, right?
Aye. Yeah. That's you know, that's what it comes to. Yeah, it's in a way it is like a lot like, you know, our Congress and stuff, where it's like, well, let's see the real important issues. Let's put those aside. Let's talk about stuff that's like nonsense. But like,
you know, what's funny, because I'm sitting there thinking, like, looking at the videos of like the owners and guys getting together and sitting there, and it's almost like the Bilderbergers group, right? Get together, right? It's like one. It's like, what's going on in that room, huh? What's going on over there? You know, what's the real conversation? What's really going on?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
there's that they showed they did the annual head coaches picture. I don't know if you saw Andy in the middle, like doing the old awkward, like, you know, when you have to sit between the two people on an airplane, you do the old.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got to come in with it. Yeah.
He was trying to squeeze in the photo. You have room on the side for people.
He should have took his arms and put it on the two guys just. Right on their chest and their knees, right? like he's the Don.
Seriously, I think it was him and Belichick were actually in the middle. I don't know if that was done purposely or not, but they were in the middle, and they both were like kind of awkwardly like sitting like kind of narrow. I don't know, it was weird. Belichick's not that big of a guy, so I don't understand why he was actually. I don't understand why Andy was doing that. Andy, you're a big dude. Just sit. You don't have to squeeze it for someone.
Oh, man, it's, you know, look, that's, you know, when you're a big guy, I'm a big guy. Okay. You always got to compensate for everybody else around you. That's kind of the rule, okay? Because you realize how big you are, like other people, and you know, smaller guys get to sit in the seat any way they want to. They can turn to the left, right. You just got to find a good little spot where you're not taking everybody else's space up. You know, yeah. I get it. You know, Andy's like, "Dad, God, little guy." Bill's just awkward because he's just an awkward guy. You know, he's probably, I got to sit in for this picture, you know, we do it every year. I try to outlaw this. I try to bring it in, you know, for a vote to get rid of these pictures.
I can definitely see, and I can also see Belichick being the type of guy who can't have his back to a window. He's got to be facing the door to see who's coming in, just because he's a weird dude.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, I'm like that too. I'm like, look, I want to see who's coming in the door. I don't like having to turn around and look at who's. You know, the person I'm with is always looking at, like, they looking, I'm like, who are you looking at? Like,
yeah.
What's going on, right?
Yeah, it's the Don Corleone, and you need to see who's coming in at all times.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll see it all. We'll see it all.
Yeah, but I will say, I've been the guy in having to sit in the middle of an airplane with a bigger person. And it's rough because I have to like kind of like do one of these, and it's like I don't get my arm hole, so I'm like sitting like this, my shoulders keel after I'm done on the plane.
Oh yeah,
it's rough. So not being petite isn't always a good thing.
Right.
All right. So last topic, we talked about roughing the passer, so we're gonna talk about some edge rusher action right here. But no roughing the passer. Karloff is a clean guy. He's never gonna do that. He'll never do that. Well, at least we hope so. Last year, as we said, drafting Karloftis was huge for us, but we said, and JD said, that it's going to take him some time. And I don't think he was getting a lot of pressures. He wasn't really finishing off the plays as far as getting sacks in the beginning of the season. But the end of the season, and it's so strong, just like all the other rookies on the team. Last seven games, he had 5.5 sacks over the last seven games. So he ended the season smoothly, just like JD said. And it'll all come together by the end of the season. And this year, he's already taken strides in the offseason by working with one of Kansas City's best and a friend of the show, Tamba Ali. There's videos of them two working with each other. It went viral in Chiefs Kingdom this past week on Twitter. JD, what does it say to you that George Karloftis is making the extra effort and going to seek out guys like Tamba Ali, who lives in the Kansas City area, and actually working with them on a variety of stuff that Tamba can teach? Because Tamba was an assassin on the edge.
Man, that's my boy right there. Tamba, look, bravo to George. And if it was him reaching out or Tamba reaching out, this without a doubt should have happened. This is something that you had to seek this type of guidance out. So I'm so glad this occurred. Man, it looks so good. So if he's going to learn anything about pass rush, the guy to teach him is Tamba. We're talking about, man, it's just a machine and working out, you know, detailed as far as like getting past guys using their hands and their arms and leverage, all of that. Man, Tamba was working it. He was just working it in practice, man. You know, just a young guy coming in, man. I really love how Tomlin would work. And so just telling him and just talking to my brother, man. That's love Tomlin. But yeah, he knows. He's like, man, I can help this guy get better, right? He can help this guy get better. Like veteran players, former players want to help guys get better. We want to see, man, we want to see guys succeed. We want to see guys succeed. And so George is a guy that's thirsty for knowledge. You can tell he wants to succeed. So his production toward the end of the season, you could tell he was getting better. He was starting to make an adjustment to the game and the speed of the game, getting his hands and all of that. And it takes time. It does. It takes time, especially, you know, on this level, elite level. You don't just come in and just be great. You got to work at it. That's bottom line. You got to work at it. So why not work with the best? So that makes sense. Like when, Frank Clark and Carlos Dunlap was helping George out. This is what veteran players do. I don't know why this is like a, seriously, like this is a debate, right? Like I understand people bring up, you know, certain things with George Brett and, you know, they was talking about Aaron Rodgers. These things, guys don't like guys like that. Let me put it that way in the NFL. They don't. You know, if you're going to be a guy that's going to hold your information and knowledge, you know, from a younger guy, then you're an idiot. You know, guys sit there like, okay, I'm going to remember that. And guys will remember dudes that do things like that. They will remember guys like that, okay? Most of the time, guys will say, man, I would never treat a young guy that way, all right? Never treat a young guy that way. Majority guy, most guys don't mind helping out young guys. They don't. Even if they don't like it, they will still help them. They will still give them knowledge. They will still tell them, hey, man, this is, you know, what you had to do. It's the same thing when I heard Tannehill, okay, saying the same thing with Malik, you know, Willis down in Tennessee. I'm like, man, okay, I can tell what type of dude you are. Well, we know what type of dude, you know, Brad and Aaron Rodgers are. We could tell that, right? And so, cool. Nobody's saying you had to babysit a dude. But not just to help a guy out, because you help the team out, ultimately. I get you want to be the man. Maybe it's just position-wise, okay? You know, you feel like, well, guys got to make their own way. It does happen, right? I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Absolutely, it does happen, okay? But most, majority of guys are going to have guys that's going to help them out, whether it be somebody in a different position, maybe a wide receiver helping a tight end. I remember Andre Rison sitting there talking about that. Look, I was helping TG out when he first got to Kansas City. Right? Shoot. Tony will tell you, like, I'm sure Dre helped him out with some things, giving me some words of wisdom, you know, because it's a team thing. It's a team structure. So same thing we talk about D-Hop. D-Hop will be a guy that will come in and help a young guy out, okay? Just I don't keep revisiting it, but that's the truth, okay? He was doing that when he was in Houston, helping guys out. That's who he is. That's his MO. So if you just, how would I say it? I want to use a strong word than idiot, but since this is kind of a, you know, we try to keep it tapered down a little bit. You know, it's just a dude, man. He's just, you know, he's
self-centered.
You could say off-centered, selfish, you know, lofty in who he believes he is, you know, not wanting to help young guys out. But more so, man, he's, you know, these guys just really won't respect a dude like that. Okay. Just won't. For the long haul. Like I said, guys remember to like, yeah, all right, I remember how the dude treated me. I remember that. And so some guys might adopt that same attitude. But like I said, majority of guys will help guys out. But yeah, man, with Tomba and watching George do this type of work, it's showing me that George wants it. He wants to become better. He wants to be successful. And when you're doing that as a young guy, the sooner you can get that type of knowledge, the toolage, that mentor to help you excel to the next level, man, do it. Do it as fast, as quick as possible. Seek that out. Seek it out. Go find you a master. That's what you want to do. You're doing karate. Go find you the master, right? They talk about the shoe. I remember, you know, I'm a big Kung Fu fan, karate guy, right? I love it. I love seeing it. Everybody would go to, you know, Shaolin, okay? Try to get that knowledge, you know, the Wu-Tang and all. Yeah, that's where you want to go. You want to learn about Kung Fu or karate? That's where you go. Mm-hmm. Tombo, hats off to him, man, my brother. Just stand-up guy all the way around. This is not shocking to me, by no means. But, hey, man, George is on his way. He keeps doing this, keeps getting this. He's going to be in a great position.
Well, it's also like, because we had this story during training camp where there's the videos after practice and photos after practice where he's working with Dunlap. He was working with Frank Clark. He's learning from these guys who were taught by their vets when they played, right? And yeah. then you have Tomba, who played under Tim Crumry, and then also he had Jared Allen, who was teaching him stuff. So he's getting – it's kind of like a masterclass in a way where he's getting a little bit of from this professor, that professor, and he's telling him all the tricks of the trade that he learned from those guys. And Tomba also played with Justin Houston, so maybe the stuff that he learned from Justin Houston, he's given to Carl Loftus as well. I mean, it's so great to have a guy like Tomba who's still in Kansas City who can be able to do this kind of stuff with Carl Loftus and give him all the information that he had, because I mean Tomba was at a high level up until the very end. And I know he ended his career in Kansas City, but he was at a high level. I mean, he wasn't getting sacks towards the end, but he was still creating havoc back there. I'll tell you that.
Still effective, no doubt about it. So that is, but that's what ends up happening. Guys become sponges, right? Become mirrors. You know, you try to emulate, you know, the great ones. And so as a young guy, if you're not trying to do that, you're not trying to get better, you're just trying to do it on your own. There's nothing wrong with that. But also, too, there's resources out here that you can go to get better, right? And so sometimes even like, let's say, older guys working out of practice, a vet, the coach might tell you, hey, man, go get some work with him. Shoot, watch what he does. You know, you could just look what he's doing. You could mirror all the things he's doing great. And even if he's not teaching you, you're watching his movements. You can learn that, okay? Matter of fact, the same thing with film. You can learn what he's doing wrong. If a guy's messing up, you can learn what not to do. So all these things, man, this is how, like, when you pass on knowledge, you know, to the next guy, because it's all about the NFL, and you know, you've had your time. Thomas has had his time. I've had my time. I don't mind imparting knowledge into younger guys. I don't mind helping guys like that out. You know, if I can help you out, I'm like, look, dude, hey, you just take your step, get your hand right here, a little bit faster, see how that feels to you, right? And you can tell them like how, you know, the body movement, balance, all those different things. How you can just take advantage. So like you said, every single one of those guys you just named, okay? So George is getting, like I said, Tim Crumry. He's getting Jared Allen, Tom Ali, Justin Houston. He's getting all that knowledge, okay? All soaked in and just, you know, pushed out to him. You know what I mean? Little things he can get. So, man, I love seeing it. I absolutely love seeing it. So, it's great, man. It's great. It's great stuff. Great seeing things like that, man. I love, like I said, man, my boy Tom, my man, doing his thing, man, helping a young player like that out. Hope to see a lot more younger guys going out there and trying to learn those things too, okay? Whatever position you're in, I don't care what it is. So if you're not going out there to seek out the best guys that's doing it, man, that's on you. That is on you, really.
It also speaks to kind of going back to what you talked about, the whole Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, like, and how Aaron Rodgers treats the young guys now. It's like if you look at it, and who knows, it's just one of those things where whoever Tannehill's vet was when he came in the league, maybe that vet was the same kind of thing to him. You say, okay, and that's one thing, you can always change that. You can always change the future, but like maybe that's the way you brought in, so you feel jaded, so you want to do that with the next guy. Because Favre and Rodgers, apparently, they didn't even talk with each other. That was always the reports. They had like no relationship with each other at all. And what happens? Rodgers becomes the same kind of guy because that's what he learned, right? He right. Learned through that, you know, the whole nurture versus nature thing. He learned that, and then what happened? He kind of became that kind of guy, and just kind of a weirdly, oddly guy with his teammates. Yeah. But obviously, Tomba didn't learn that way, because Jared Allen was his guy who kind of took him under his wing when he first got in the league. And look at that, he's bestowing all the wisdom with the younger guys.
Yeah, man. Listen, everybody's trying to get paid. And so it's the same thing we were talking about. if you're visiting with a group of guys, and that's why I love like the whole tight end university thing, right? Because it's like, look, we're sharing knowledge, we're sharing how guys get open. Because ultimately, it's about our position getting better. Okay, it puts us in a better light, puts us in a better position for negotiations when it comes down to the table. Having somebody this good, why wouldn't you want to try to improve that? So yeah, man, these things can be done to guys. They can absolutely learn it. And like you said, hey, they pass it on, and maybe that's what something happened to these guys. I don't disagree with that, probably. Okay. Bad behavior begets bad behavior, right?
Yeah.
And so if you have something that is good, it's the same thing. If you're having something that you're be able to benefit somebody, hopefully that person passes on to the very next one, right? The next generation of guys coming through at that position. Okay. Like I said, everybody wants to get paid. Everybody wants to eat. But sometimes competition is competition. Ain't nothing wrong with competition, but still it's like, hey, man, like, all right, I might not be here. It might be you. If I go somewhere else, I'm still going to compete. That's what it's all, you know, when it comes down to it. If you just trying to look a guy sink, you know what I mean? And you ain't trying to throw him a life jacket, you know, life preserver, any of those things, then you are a dookie shoot.
Well, they're going by the whole if the airplane's coming down, you know, they say put your mask on first before you help somebody else out. That's the logic that they're displaying for the for everything.
So like, hey, I ain't shoot. He on his own.
Maybe. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I will say, Carl Lodges could be in a position. Ray Clark's gone. Dunlap's gone. He could be in a position where he is the elder statesman. Well, we'll have Mike Dana still, but like he could be the next year doing what Dunlap and Frank Clark did. After only 1 year, he could be doing that with a rookie. If we bring in a guy in the first or second round, you know, like, yeah. I mean, he could, I mean, he's got 1 year under his belt. He could be that guy for someone, you know?
Dude, matter of fact, I'd be like, if I didn't see him helping a young guy, I'm like, hey man, didn't them dudes help you out last year?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to help a guy like this out? Like they helped you, right? Why don't you do the same thing for these guys like the guys did for you? You know what I'm saying? Shoot, don't just keep all the knowledge to yourself. You get it all and bottle it up. But I don't see him doing something like that. I think he would be that type of guy. He would be a guy that would help guys out. Yeah. That's what all of that is for. That's what all of that is for. What's the point of keeping all this knowledge to yourself, right? What's the point? Okay, you're going to keep it. You can't use it no more. Ain't nobody else going back to the NFL. I ain't going back to the NFL. So, if I'm going to teach somebody how to block, you know, tight end position, block a, you know, shoot, 5, 7, 9, pass block, how to get around guys, run routes, I'm going to give that knowledge, everything to you that I know. Okay? It's what I'm going to do. So that's how we should be doing. That's how we should be doing just in the whole human experience. That we should be doing, right?
True.
Part of why we striving, the way we striving. Okay? Sometimes bad behavior is showing up too. That's why things are in the state that they're in. So,
this is true.
All right, I don't want to get philosophical. Chief show. So we'll stay there with it. But
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
True.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. I'll say Carlos is. If he learns anything from Tomba, I mean, that's just I think he's had a good. I think he's had a double digit sack year. Maybe it was hyped up after seeing him work out with Tomba, but I think we're going to see a double-digit sack year from him next year.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, he definitely have that ability after working with Tomba, no doubt about it.
He trending in that direction anyway.
He's improved just having that interaction and that visit with him and working out with him. He's improved just that much. Seriously, he's a much better defensive end pass rusher than he was, you know, when he entered the season working with Tomba.
No doubt. And I do think we should add, maybe bring Dunlap back, maybe bring in Justin Houston. I do think there is some room for some veteran type guys. And I know last year we talked about the veteran edge. And based on the market last year, we'll be seeing a lot of veteran edges going into training camp again, unsigned by the time training camp rolls around. So there'll be some guys out there for sure.
I like Carlos. I like Dunlap.
Yeah. He was solid last year. Would he only have a half a sack less than Frank Clark during the year? And he was getting paid like a significant amount less.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that does it for us, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online. We'll see you guys next week for obviously some more Chief takes and Chief stuff, and obviously for the giveaway. So be ready for that, guys.
Well, I'm waiting for the giveaway. We'll see how it's going to work out, man. But, hey, all Chief Concern followers, man, we love you guys, okay? Keep watching us. Keep watching us. We're going to keep giving y'all some good business, all right? Stay tuned.
All right. We hope everyone has a good weekend. We'll see you guys next week. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.